Krishna, 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 Krishna,
Yeah.
Himsaya,
non-violence,
Paramahamsa Acharya,
following
the footsteps of great Acharyas, Smritya, by remembering
Mukunda,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Acharya
Gagriya, preaching his activities,
Sidhuna,
by the nectar, Yama,
following
regulated
Akama,
without material desires,
Niyamaya,
strictly following rules and regulations,
also,
api,
certainly,
Nindaya,
Nindaya,
without blasphemy,
Nirihaya,
living simply,
Manva,
duality.
Duality.
Dikshaya,
by
tolerance. Translation: a candidate for spiritual advance must be non-violent, must follow the footsteps of greater acharyas, must always remember the nectar of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, must follow the regulated principles without material desire, and while following the regulated principles should not blaspheme others. A devotee should lead a very simple life and not be disturbed by duality of opposing elements. He should learn to tolerate them. Therefore, the devotees are actually sanctified persons of sadhus. The first qualification of a sadhu or devotee is ahimsa or non-violence. Persons interested in the path of spirit, devotional service, going back to God, must first practice ahimsa or non-violence. A sadhu is described as tishava karunika. A devotee should be tolerant and should be very much compassionate towards others. For example, if he suffers personal injury, he much should tolerate it. But if someone else suffers injury, the devotee will not tolerate it. The whole world is full of violence, and the devotee's first business is to stop this violence, including the necessary slaughter of animals. The devotee is the friend not only of human society, but of all living entities, for he sees all living entities as sons of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He does not claim himself to be the only son of God and allow others to be killed, thinking that they have no soul. This kind of philosophy is never advocated by a pure devotee of the Lord. Sufidas Arpadehi Nam. A true devotee is the friend of all living entities. Krishna claims in Bhagavad Gita to be the father of all species of living entities. Constantly, a devotee of Krishna is always a friend of all. This is called ahimsa. Such non-violence can be practiced only when we follow the footsteps of great acharyas. Therefore, according to our Vaishnava philosophy, we have to follow the great acharyas and the four sampradayas which is the succession. Trying to advance the spiritual life outside the Sikhu session is simply ludicrous. It is said, therefore, Acharya Van Purusha Veda, one follows the disciplic session of Acharyas, knows things as they are. Tad Vigyan Artam Sa Guru Eva Vigachet. In order to understand this transcendental science, one must approach one by spiritual master. The word Smritya is very important in spiritual life. Smritya means remembering Krishna always. Life should be molded in such a way that one cannot remain alone without thinking of Krishna. We should live in Krishna so that while eating, sleeping, walking, working, we remain only in Krishna. Our Krishna Consciousness Society recommends that we arrange our living so that we can remember Krishna. In our ISKCON Society, the devotees, while engaged in making spiritual sky incense, are always hearing about the glories of Krishna and his devotees. The Shastra recommends Smartavya Satyam Vishnu. Lord Vishnu should be remembered always, constantly. Bismartavya na karichet. Vishnu should never be forgotten. That is the spiritual way of life. Smritya. This remembrance of the Lord can be continued if we hear about him constantly. It is therefore recommended in this verse, Mukunda Acharita Agriya Siduna. Sidhu means nectar. To hear about Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, or a similar authentic literature, is to live in Krishna consciousness. Such concentration in Krishna consciousness can be achieved by persons who are strictly following the rules and regulations, our regulated principles. We have recommended in our Krishna consciousness movement that the devotee chant 16 rounds on these daily and follow the regulated principles that will help the devotee be fixed in the spiritual advancement in life. It is also stated in this verse that one can advance by controlling the senses. By controlling the senses, one can become a swami or goswami. One who is therefore enjoying this super title, stronger it grows, though, he must be very strict in controlling his senses. Indeed, he must be a master of the senses. This is possible when one does not desire any material sense gratification. If, by chance, the senses want to work independently, he must control them. If we simply practice avoiding material sense gratification, controlling the senses is automatically achieved. Another important point mentioned in this connection is anindaya. We should not criticize others' methods of religion. There are different types of religious systems operating in different qualities of material nature. Those operating in the mode of ignorance and passion cannot be as perfect as that system in the mode of goodness. And Bhagavad Gita, everything has been divided into three qualitative divisions. Therefore, religious systems are similarly categorized. And people are mostly under the mode of ignorance and passion and ignorance, their system of religion will be of the same quality. A devotee, instead of criticizing such systems, will encourage the followers to stick to the principles so that gradually they can come to the platform of religion and goodness. Simply by criticizing them, a devotee's mind will be agitated. Thus, a devotee should tolerate and learn to stop agitation. Another feature of the devotee is nirihaya, simple living. Nirhiha means gentle, meek, or simple. A devotee should not live very gorgeously and imitate a materialistic person. Plain living and high thinking are recommended for a devotee. He should accept only so much as he needs to keep the material body fit for the execution of devotional service. He should not eat or sleep more than is required. Simply eating for living and not living for eating and sleeping only 6 or 7 hours a day are principles to be followed by devotees. As long as the body is there, it is subjected by the influence of climatic changes, disease, and natural disturbances, the three miseries of material existence. We cannot avoid them. Sometimes we receive letters from neophyte devotees questioning why they have fallen sick although pursuing Krishna consciousness. They should learn from this verse that they have to become tolerant. This is the world of duality. One should not think that because he has fallen sick, he has fallen from Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness continue without impediment from any material opposition. Lord Sri Krishna therefore advises in Bhagavad Gita Tamsa Tiksha Svarata, my dear Arjuna, please try to tolerate all these disturbances we face in your Krishna conscious activities. Translation of candidate, spiritual advance must be non-violent, must follow the footsteps of great acharyas, must always remember the nectar of the past signs of the Supreme Personality of God, and must follow the regulator principles without material desire, and while following the regular principles should not blaspheme others. A devotee should lead a very simple life and not be disturbed by the duality of avoiding elements. He should learn to tolerate them. So here Sant Kumar gives some of the rules to follow in worshipping the Supreme Lord, of which the important element here is remembering the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. As was mentioned in the previous verse, one should perform devotion. So here he's talking about the process of smarana, or remembering. So in the previous verse he was talking about hearing. And along with this process of hearing and remembering, then we have other principles. So the first one mentioned here is ahimsaya, or non-violence. And the second one is following the paramahamsas. And then other one is following rules and regulations without desires. And the next one is non-criticism. And then the next one is doing activities without desire. And then the last one is tolerance of the duality of the material world. So the important point here is the bhakti portion, that is remembrance of the Supreme Lord. If we don't have that and we have the other ones, then that is okay, but that will bring you up to sattva-guna only. So we must have the devotional element there along with these other things. So as is mentioned in other places also, when there are lists of qualities and activities, whatever, then the main activity is the process of bhakti.
and the different angas of bhakti, and all the other elements are separate. And when we speak of qualities of a devotee, like tolerance, etc., they're all very good. But unless one has faith in the Supreme Lord and surrenders to the Supreme Lord, other qualities are actually still material. So all these things are favorable for devotional development, but the main element here is that one has to perform devotional service or bhakti. In this case, the process of remembrance. So the other principles on themselves don't create bhakti. So being non-violent does not create bhakti. Simply being a vegetarian does not make you a devotee. It's a good to be a vegetarian, but it doesn't cause devotion. It may be favorable to devotion in many cases, yes, but at the same time it's not a cause of devotion. So similarly, the other principles here, fine to tolerate the dualities of material nature, but yogis do that also. Gyanis also do that. So everything here that applies to the gyani as well. But when the principle of remembering the Lord becomes the most prominent, then we have a devotee. When that is a minor aspect, then it'll be a gyani or even a karmi, satpagun, or a yogi. So the most important element is that everything depends upon the process of bhakti. So these other principles are favorable for that development. Why? Because they encourage us to control the senses and become detached from the material world. So that means some sort of vairagya is cultivated through these processes. But we also know that vairagya as a limb of bhakti is not accepted. It's not a limb of bhakti detachment. It is a secondary rule only. It's not one. In other words, by doing vairagya, we don't create bhakti or encourage bhakti at all. It is definitely favorable along with the practice of the devotional activities, like remembering. So, therefore, these other activities are favorable in that for our devotional development, over attachment to material enjoyment causes an obstruction. So that must be limited. So therefore these various activities here we'll see are limiting our enjoyment of the material world. And in this way one can progress smoothly in devotional service. So in the Nectar Devotion, the Rupa Goswami has listed angas of bhakti. So these are activities which cause bhakti to develop by doing them. And the other activities, which we call secondary, are those activities which do not cause bhakti, but which are favorable. And if we don't do the devotional service and we just do these elements, we can come up to satguna. But it does not create bhakti. So, therefore, the element we have to emphasize is the devotional element, that is hearing or remembering, etc. And the other processes follow after that and support it. So this is how the devotee develops. The other day I mentioned that we have the negative principles, don't do this and don't do that. So we also have that in devotional service, certain things we shouldn't do and certain things we should do. So, but the main elements are the positive elements of devotion, like hearing and chanting. So these are the principal elements that we follow. And they will, as Prabhupada mentioned previously, the cultivation of bhakti will ultimately give us a higher taste, and consequently give up the lower taste. So therefore, it acts itself to destroy material desires and bring us to a higher platform. But the main effect of bhakti is that we develop more and more attraction to the Supreme Lord. So that's the main element. And all these other elements help that. But ultimately, bhakti is the process that causes the detachment, and it causes the attachment to the Supreme Lord. So those are the main elements there. So we have non-violence which is activity which does not unnecessarily interfere with other living entities. So when we do things unnecessarily for our own enjoyment, then this is called himsa. We interfere with other living entities in some way or other for our enjoyment when it's not necessary. So that is called ahimsa. To a certain degree, there must be violence in the material world because we have to live. So we have to kill some plants or whatever to survive. So we minimize that, and therefore it's called acceptable. In this way, the devotee has to minimize that. Why? Of course, is that he should control his desire to enjoy. Second is that by overextending himself, he creates karma and causes further bondage in the material world. The second element here is the following after the Paramahamsas. Of course, a Paramahamsa literally means one who is very, very detached from the material world, and can also indicate a devotee of the Lord. So we have to follow the acharyas and the previous devotees and follow their conduct. Whatever they did, we try to follow it. And following rules and regulations, yama and niyama, follow those things with no desire. Yama and niyama, of course, are common to yoga. These are the first two steps in yoga. We have astanga, or eight limbs. So the first one is yama, and the second is niyama. So, of course, in devotional service, we follow certain yamas and niyamas also. That means things to not do and things to do. General rules of conduct. Then we have here anindaya, not criticizing others. Of course, we know in devotional service we have sadhu-ninda, etc., which are very detrimental to devotional service. And in a more general sense, we have criticism of others unnecessary, which is also a form of violence. So maybe physical violence or verbal violence. So when it becomes verbal, then it's called ninda. In general, when it's criticism of devotees, then it becomes sadhu-ninda, and that becomes aparad. So we have to avoid the aparads. And then acting without desire and being tolerant of the dualities of the material world. That is mentioned in the Nectar Devotion among the second 10 angas, where the negative principles are described. So there it says, do not be overcome by lamentation, etc. Don't come under the control of lamentation, etc. So the positive way of saying that is to become tolerant of the dualities of the material world. We don't become overly affected by what happens to us in the material world, because that is caused by over-attachment. So if we're less attached, then we'll be less likely to be under the control of the circumstances, the various circumstances in this world. And the more detached we are, the more we tolerate the material world. We are not attached to the material body and our circumstances of our body, so therefore we tolerate. So these develop, all these qualities will develop naturally with the cultivation of devotion, because bhakti creates all the qualities. But in the process of developing, then we also follow these rules so that we don't unnecessarily become involved in material enjoyment. So that these rules help us in our development of devotional service in that way, by creating some sort of restrictions for us. So the combination of these secondary rules with the principal rules of bhakti is the proper way to execute devotional service. We do these things together. And if we don't have the bhakti there, of course, it is actually not a spiritual process, it's a material process. So devotional service is very prominent, then it becomes devotional service, what we call bhakti.
One is remember once a day, then you can renounce.
So
you must have both also.
Well, automatically detachment takes place through devotion, because if one is attracted to Krishna, it means he cannot be attracted to material things. The more he advances towards Krishna, the less attracted he is to material nature. The other type of vairagya is simply to practice detachment, as in the case of yogis, without worship of the Lord. So they simply isolate themselves and control their eating and control the senses all the time. So that is not recommended for devotees. Simply to do that. We can do devotion and we control to some extent. At the same time, we also engage our senses in the devotional process. So we don't stop the eyes and the tongue, etc. We engage them. We eat prasad, we see the deities, etc. So our process of vairagya is a little different. It is not fogu vairagya, it is yukta vairagya.
Mark, these other secondary qualities, if we use an analogy that, you know, Bhakti Lata Bija, so it's being protected by these, so that you can say that?
Yeah, they help nourish. Of course, the main nourishment is the watering, which are the main angas of bhakti. And the others are secondary, like fences or whatever you put around to help safeguard.
What when a living entity is doing a devotional service, do he has to endeavor for these secondary elements, or it automatically happens?
Well, as I said, to some degree we have to do what is favorable for our devotional service. In other words, we just chant Hare Krishna and then we have no rules to follow, and then we do anything in the material world, then it kind of takes us in the opposite direction. Yeah? So we have some minimum rules to follow, which help us control our senses.
But from third verse from Shikshashtakam, it appears that if we practice that, then we can chant Krishna.
What's that?
From third verse of Shikshashtakam, so it appears that if we practice those humility and if we practice tolerance, then only we can chant the name of the Lord continuously.
Oh, well, that and that tolerance is a little bit different. That is directly related to the process of bhakti. Because without that, in other words, we're not something so much tolerant of other living entities or the material world, but actually we're being submissive to the Supreme Lord. So that is an essential element of bhakti. And consequently from that, then of course, we do have the other things coming out respecting all living entities, etc. But the main idea there is that we are submissive to the Supreme Lord. We are the servant of the Supreme Lord. And consequently from that, then we don't have pride in relation to other living entities.
So whatever problems we face, we should be, submissive and tolerance. I'll ask you the question. Go ahead.
What is this Paramahamsa, does it refer to
devotees? Well, it can, or it can just refer to the Paramahamsa, one who's very detached from the material world, either way.
But if it refers to devotees, then it is also very important.
Then it can be devotional service, yeah. Of course, these elements we can take as devotional service also, some of these elements, and directly. Just like the anindayas avoid the aparats in devotional service, we could take them more directly, some of them. Some are more general, like ahimsa, or tolerating the material elements. They're not directly devotional, others we could take as devotional.
And devotional service will make submissive and tolerance.
Yeah. To the Supreme Lord.
Any kind of problem we have to follow the become submissive and tolerance.
Yeah, well, all these qualities should be related to the Supreme Lord and our devotion to the Supreme Lord. If they are separate from that, then it becomes cultivating qualities in sattva-gun, which is different. That's different. So we are cultivating a relationship with Krishna, and all these other qualities are all related to that. That's what makes them different. So when a devotee develops all good qualities, the good qualities that a devotee develops are actually devotional qualities, spiritual qualities. They're not sattva-gun qualities, because they're related to the Supreme Lord.
So that is one only stay long in the movement. Must be very submissive and tolerant.
Yeah, well, as one advances, then one will show all the good qualities. But I'm saying these are different qualities from material qualities. Otherwise, if we're developing material qualities, it would cause our bondage in the material world. So Krishna has 64 qualities. So devotees can also develop good qualities, but those are spiritual qualities that develop, not material qualities.
But Anindaya, how does devotees handle Mayavadinis and atheists? Anindaya, how does devotees handle Mayavadinis and atheists?
Oh, I want you not criticize. Well, we see the particular position of these different religions or whatever, and understand that they are according to gunas, just like Karma Yoga is for Rajagun and Jnana is for Sattva-gun, etc. So according to the level of the people, the Lord gives different processes for them. Now, of course, those which are mentioned in the Vedas we cannot criticize in one sense, so therefore Shastra-ninda is also another offense. And so these processes are mentioned in the Vedas, so we can't condemn them. At the same time, we have to see their relative importance, and therefore Krishna also says, oh, the Vedas are useless. The flowery words of the Vedas are useless. Let's reject the Vedas. Rise above the Vedas, etc. So he does, in one sense, criticize them also. So we understand that they are part of the process, but on a lower level, and therefore he's recommending that better we simply practice the process of devotion. So we see the relative importance of the different religions and whatever, as well as understanding that certain things are sanctioned by the Vedas.
Maharaj, when you're talking about these qualities of submissiveness and of being tolerant, then there is some kind of duality with respect to Krishna and devotees. They are supposed to behave in a certain way with respect to outsiders, or so-called non-devotees. For example, in a work situation or when we are staying and living with close proximity with non-devotees. So how do you practice these qualities?
You mean you want to do different or what?
These qualities that they manage, so with respect to Krishna we understand we have to be submissive, but with respect to others?
Well, they're also servants of Krishna, they're jivas. So that one has to also show the respect, just like the tree is tolerant to everybody, regardless of whoever it is. So, but of course, we also understand that devotees are more important than the other people, so therefore we pay particular respect to them, but at the same time, even in general, we do that. So we don't commit violence against devotees, that's worse, but we still don't commit violence against living entities in general, also.
ग्रंथराशि श्रीमद् भगवदम की जय गलत बन महाराज की जय श्री
कृष्ण गोपाल की जय गोपाल की जय भगवान 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 भगवान